We rise. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Jesus, our Lord. Amen. We consider the word of the Lord, which comes from Malachi chapter 3. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien, because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. This is the word of the Lord of hosts. You may be seated. Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In Jesus' name, who is, who was, and who is to come, our Savior in flesh and in glory, dear elect of God, and all who have been redeemed by the universal atonement of Jesus Christ. I remember memorizing those interrogatives in grade school. Who, what, when, where, why? We memorize these in order to use them to kind of understand and interpret stories. These questions are meant to gather basic information, so reporters and journalists use these questions to get after the whole story. In Peter's first epistle, he writes of how the Old Testament prophets did much the same thing, and how you, as believers, are to do much the same thing. Peter writes, "Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which have now been reported to you through those who preach the gospel by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into." As the words of Malachi come to us today, we're receiving a report directly from the prophets, from God himself, the Spirit sent from heaven. To us, they are ministering. It's up to us to investigate, to find out what this report is all about. And so on Wednesday, when we consider the words of Zacharias, we'll see how this all fits together in the coming of John the Baptist, preparing the way, and the coming of the Lord. Indeed, we too pray that the Father would send us the Spirit from heaven to report these blessed truths. Behold, he is coming. We ponder and prepare. When was probably one of the most challenging questions for the prophets to answer. When would the Savior appear? Peter, we just read, wrote, that the prophets searched carefully to know what manner of time the Spirit was indicating. Malachi here is the last book of the Old Testament. As the faithful in Israel waited and wondered, they would consider carefully these words. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Literally, this messenger will clear the way. Isaiah speaks also of this messenger who clears the way, writing, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Through the Spirit, Malachi and Isaiah are both speaking of the same event, the Messiah King marching in on a clear path, marked by a forerunner who is going to prepare this way. It would be some 400 years after Malachi before an angel would appear to Zacharias saying, your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son and you shall call his name John. He will turn the hearts of many to the Lord their God to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. We'll also consider on Wednesday these words of Zacharias as his mouth is open at the birth of his son. And he says, you child will be called the prophet of the highest. You will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. Here comes the one to prepare the way, John the Baptist. And how does he do it? Well, we read of how Matthew records the voice of one crying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This last of the Old Testament prophets and first of the New Testament prophets is here bringing us the central message of the Bible. Repentance and faith that receives the King. We too prepare. We hear the message today. It comes to us a message of the forgiveness of sins through the coming of our Savior. Behold, the Lord comes. When considering knock-knock jokes, they're always trying to answer the question, who's there? Here we're given something that is really no joke at all. The one knocking on the door in Malachi's prophecy is the Lord himself. He is here. Literally, that word messenger in the Greek is angel. They mean the same thing. And many times the Old Testament will speak of the angel of the Lord in connection with Jesus himself. Here it speaks of the angel of the covenant. That word covenant means agreement. That's something you should kind of ingrain into your head. The word covenant means agreement. Think of it in terms of a lease. Two parties coming together for a legal agreement. Say you want to rent out a room in your house. If you don't know the person, you're probably going to want to write up some kind of agreement so that you know the other person's liable to meet the terms. If that second party lives up to the terms of the agreement, they'll receive the benefits of a room, a roof over their head. But if not, they're out. Maybe there's a penalty. Maybe they lose their down payment. Maybe there's a fine. The old covenant was a lot like such an agreement. To receive the benefits of life in heaven, you must meet the requirements. And they're very specific. If you don't perfectly meet those requirements, you're going to be out on the street. You're going to be left out without a house, without a home. You're going to be left to hell. As simply human beings, we could never meet these requirements. That's why God, in pure love, wrote up a new agreement, a new lease, a new contract, a new covenant. In this new covenant, God meets all the requirements for you. In fact, he accepts the penalty that you deserve according to the old agreement, the penalty of hell. He accepts all that, and then he goes on to meet the terms that we couldn't meet, to live that life we haven't lived, and to give you all the benefits freely. That is, he gives you heaven based solely on what he's done for you. Yes, this is the birth of our Savior, the Lord coming suddenly. When he gives you his supper, his body and blood, he calls it the blood of the new covenant, because Jesus is the fulfillment of the old and the ushering in of the new. He comes suddenly, the messenger who has the way prepared by repentance and fulfills by taking your sins away forever. We truly do delight in this messenger, the angel of the covenant. Under that old covenant, the temple had a very symbolic meaning. It represented the presence of God among his people. It was the place where the Lord would meet with Moses, where he'd meet with his priests and representatives. It was a place where sin sacrifices were offered to atone for sin. The temple was the place where you would go as a Christian to truly know that God is among you. Verse 1 says, "The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple." When Jesus arrived, he did come suddenly to his temple. The Gospel of John records how, when John records his Gospel, it doesn't take even two chapters before Jesus is found coming suddenly to the temple, right away. And what does he do there? He tips over the money changers' tables. He rebukes the false practices of the Pharisees. Yes, he comes suddenly, but he also comes unexpectedly. That's the sense of this word here, is that Jesus' coming to his temple is rather unexpected. Because truly the place where he was going to dwell was not that physical temple in Jerusalem. This is the ushering in of the new covenant, where those old things have passed away and behold, all things have become new. John also records in connection with that event, Jesus saying, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." What was he talking about? Destroy the temple, and in 3 days God will raise it up? The people didn't get it, but John notes Jesus wasn't speaking of the physical temple. He was speaking of his body, which would die on the cross and be raised again in 3 days. It's that transition. Think of the body of Christ crucified, dead, and buried as the burial of the old covenant, that old contract where you had to meet all the requirements or else, and his resurrection as the birth of the new covenant, where all things have been fulfilled, your sins have been forgiven, and you have a new temple where God is to be found. Indeed, we've heard of how the temple veil was torn in two, of how the temple itself was destroyed in 70 AD by the Roman armies. And yet, here is a temple that endures forever. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. That temple under the new covenant is the temple of Christ, where we are now gathered, where God is among us, because we're gathering to hear his word and to receive his sacraments, like last Sunday, baptism, the Lord's Supper. God's temple is among us. It's the bodily presence of our Savior Jesus Christ. The messenger comes suddenly. Let us prepare. The when, where, who, and how have really answered this last question for us already. The stage is set, the pieces are in place, the Lord comes. What is his purpose? We read in verse 5, "I will come near you for judgment." that the Lord comes to judge against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, extortioners. In fact, every one of us are guilty of these sins. And yet, it is not because they commit sins that you and I haven't committed that they are judged. It says in verse 5, they are judged because they do not fear me. What they lack is that humble admission of these very sins. What they lack on the last day is the purifying work of God's Son in which they believe. He comes for judgment. He also comes to purify. Verse 3, he will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. The Lord must refine. He can't dwell in eternity with things that are corrupt. To offer the Lord anything in your life while still clinging to sin or being corrupted by the way you're living your life is to not offer something acceptable. As he said, he will purge them as gold. The sons of Levi must be purified to come to the holy God with an offering. And that's exactly what Jesus has done for you. We read in our scripture reading, our great God and Savior Jesus Christ gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. You endure this last day not because you've committed lesser sins than other people. You endure because you believe in that which purifies you, that the Savior God has given himself for you. You fear him. You tremble at his presence. And yet you love him dearly. For he has given you the pure work of Jesus Christ, the faith that makes you a son of Levi. Levi was one of the 12 sons of Jacob. He was given the Levitical priesthood to be a representative of God in the temple, to communicate the forgiveness of sins, to teach the holy things. Under the new covenant, this calling of Levi has come to you. Peter writes, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. This calling to faithfully teach God's word, to forgive sins, doesn't belong to the pastor. It belongs to the congregation. You are all priests, the sons of Levi. The new covenant is nothing but priests, nothing but people who have been given the gift of the gospel. You call a pastor to do these things on your behalf, to bring the purifying work of Jesus to you. Our Lutheran confessions say the same. The sons of Levi are none other than the people of God in the proclamation of the gospel and its good fruits, so that you can offer a sacrifice in righteousness, that your life now is pure, so that everything you do by faith in Jesus is acceptable to God. It's not money. It's not just being here in church. It's what the psalmist writes. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. He goes on, then you will be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness. It's through that broken heart, prepared by the word, the preaching of John the Baptist, that your offering is acceptable, purified, so that you, as Peter writes, are living stones, built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up not physical sacrifices, but spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This takes us back to the days of old. As he writes here, the offering will be pleasant as in the days of old. Believers like Abel, Abraham, Ruth, who did things by faith, you too now join the offering of the saints. purpose of journalists and detectives is to interrogate, to ask those important questions that we've asked today. What are you going to do with this report? The Bible was given to you so you could give an accurate report of the things of God. Righteousness through faith in Jesus, prepared for his second coming. Let us now go and report these things as prophets, as priests, as kings. You have been given the whole report. You are prepared by, through, and for the coming of our Lord Jesus. Amen.